If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Steve Mosqueda, my guest and dear friend for many years, is the man, along with Sean Benjamin, who created, invented the drinking and writing theater.
Yes, that's true.
You did.
We did.
Take me back. He's here with what he calls in his press release, newcomer, Grace Murphy. And we will find out, Grace, how you could get involved in these two guys. But, Steve, take me back to the, you know, you guys are in the neo-futurists. You and Sean say one day, obviously, over drinks, we should do something.
Yeah, we were hanging out at the old Simon's Tavern, which is still there.
Sure.
One of our favorite little haunts.
Andersonville.
Yeah, and right around the corner from the Neo Futurist Theater. And we thought we should do a show about, you know, writers and drinking writers. And the first idea we came up with, we both love Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
So we were going to write a show called Book on Ice.
Oh, that's nice.
And it would be like, an icecapade show,
sure,
featuring Charles Bukowski. And so we started doing more research, and we learned that, hey, you know what? There's more writers who kind of indulge and do this kind of thing, and it kind of evolved, and we decided that we should include as many as we could. And so we wrote a whole show, and the first show was called Drinking and Writing, and we sat at the bar. Tease Bar, which is not there anymore in Andersonville, sat at the bar, drank with the audience, challenged them to shots and challenged ourselves. And we discussed the whole notion, which is our mission, which is to explore the connection between creativity and alcohol.
Yeah, see, that the one thing that ever appealed to me about it, as playful and fun as it is, and I think there are a lot of people who see it only as playful and funny, you guys were deadly serious about it. You're not professors, but you were serious about and intrigued by, as I ever have been, that relationship between booze and writing. Because there have been so, you know, I'm sure there are more alcoholic doctors than there have been alcoholic writers.
Yes.
But the writers do tend to be more famous.
Yes. You know, and there's some kind of glamour that goes along with that. Some, you know, the drinking.
Romanticism.
And yeah, it's totally romanticized. And, you know, in the show, we actually did get to the end of the show, and we talk about the five stages of intoxication. And there's actually a sixth stage, which is death. And we talked about how most of these writers, you know, they ended up in a certain place because of their behavior. And that was a reality of the show.
Yeah. So Grace Murphy, this kind of aesthetic really appealed to you. this is what you grew up wanting to do, is it?
Exactly.
Grace, where are you from?
I'm from San Francisco.
And how did you come to Chicago? And why did you come to Chicago? And how did you hook up with these guys?
All right. I came to Chicago because I heard great things about it. So I was like, why not?
About what?
About Chicago. About the theater scene in Chicago specifically.
Yeah.
So I decided to try it out, and I fell in love with the city. What's not to love, right?
Yeah, that's
it's
really
so inspiring.
It's true.
It would be
especially true if you moved here this weekend. You go, oh my God.
Yeah, right.
It's like San Diego here.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And did you start, I mean, what has your theater experience been here so far?
So far, I've performed at the Royal George a few times.
Oh, nice.
Color Box Theater. Yeah, I've done a few shows. But Steve was really my first take at original theater in the city. And I saw an audition post online, and it went from there.
For this very show, for this, your centrally transmitted drama.
Isn't that clever?
I think it is. No, frankly, I think it is.
Well, I was, you know, trying to think of a...
You always downplay your brilliance. You downplay your brilliance.
Yes, yes.
It is called the new show. It is sensuously transmitted drama, Love Poured Neat. It takes place at the Drinking and Writing Theater, which has a space at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery at the corner of Halsted and Randolph. For you old timers, it used to be called Barney's Market Club
with a
sign saying, "Yes, sir, Senator."
Exactly.
The show is running April 2nd through April 30th, Saturdays at 4. And Tuesdays at 8, you answer an ad for this.
Not this show specifically, for the Drinking and Writing Theater.
Yeah. Did you know anything about it? I mean, in this day and age, you can Google it and you get a lot of pretty good information about what it is and what it's done. Mm-hmm.
We actually, the audition we had was for an ongoing show that we do called Versus.
Yeah.
It's something versus something else. And, you know, it's beer versus wine. It's drinking versus writing. And we have two teams that kind of throw their art on stage. And it's a battle of art. It's six rounds. And we have some incredible artists that come and write and perform, and it's great. And Grace auditioned for it, and she was one of the only people. Our audition was shoot a video and send it to us.
Really?
And Grace was the one who went underneath the owl track and shouted something, a poem that we asked her to read. I think it was a Baudelaire poem or Bukowski poem.
Nice.
And she shouted it with the L track, you know, the train going above her. And I thought, well, that's pretty original. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So we had her come in, and she's a natural. And so we've been doing the Versus shows. And then I wanted to do another drinking and writing show. And I asked Grace if she would be interested in doing it. And she said, yes.
It's the two of you doing it.
Two of us doing the show, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. I want to talk, before we get to the show, you're going to be here all the way to 11 o'clock. Are you sometimes amazed of the durability of this whole thing? I am not, but you created it,
yeah.
And I am not amazed by the durability of it. I just think it's a great idea that can nurture a lot of theatrical things.
Yeah, I'm never amazed at the amount of people that come up and tell me after the show, wow, that was, because I like to think our shows are, you know, just, they're not just about drinking and getting drunk. They're
right.
about other
right.
things, like, you know, hopefully we can talk about the new show, which is,
oh, we'll
you know,
talk a lot about
there's
it,
a
yeah.
there's a lot of information that we give out about love, and I think a lot of people identify with us talking about our own experiences. And bringing in writers like Nelson Algren and Simone de Beauvoir. And
now, do you two, and we will talk about it here at length after the news, do you play Nelson and Simone? Or do you read Nelson and Simone to one another? Because those are some deeply emotional, screwed up letters.
Yeah, we don't necessarily play them, but we do go into their relationship.
Yeah, we read some of little excerpts from the letters.
Yeah.
That big book that, you know, it's all the collection of over 300 books.
I know.
Letters that
letters.
She wrote to him.
Yeah.
That was referenced Chicago City on the Make.
Yeah. I mean, what a tempestuous relationship. Yeah. Okay. He slept with my aunt.
Hey, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. He slept with my aunt. And I cannot tell. Sadly, I cannot tell the entire story on the air, but... Geez. She did tell me when I was old enough to know that Nelson was not a very nice man, is the way she put it. I think they slept. And she told me that, do you know why he slept with me, Ricky? And I said, no, Jenny, I don't even want to talk about this. Well, he slept with me because he couldn't sleep with your mother. And then I'm like, oh, my God, is right. We will be back shortly. You'll get some news, and then I'm going to talk to my old friend Steve Mosqueda and my new friend Grace Murphy about their show, Sensuously Transmitted Drama, Love Poured Neat.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I never learned to spell, at least not well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I never learned to count a great amount.
Well, welcome back. I'm playing music from pal Joey, because Joey was kind of a drunk, and it's about bars, and it's about saloons, and somebody had, and it is based on the New Yorker short stories of John O'Hara, who also wrote the book for the musical. And John O'Hara was a very serious drinker, as my guest Steve Mosqueda knows. I'm not sure newcomer, relative youngster Grace Murphy
knows. I'm trying to teach her.
Oh, I know. This wasn't Grace. Being in the show, Sensuously Transmitted Drama, Love Poured Neat, it wasn't just because, oh, it's an acting gig. I mean, this whole notion appealed to you, yes?
Of course, yeah. I was really fascinated in exploring the relationship between Simone de Beauvoir and Nelson Algren, and being able to practice the aesthetic of drinking and writing theater was also appealing to me.
Yeah. Is there a script for the show, Steve?
Yeah, we started working on the show in January, I think, and we started coming up with ideas about how to dissect love with this drinking and writing aesthetic that we have, which is very similar to the neo-futurist aesthetic, where we don't really play characters. We're on stage, and if we have a libation with the audience, that's okay. If we give some away, that's good. But it's an exploration. It's, not only with the subject, but our lives. We also talk a lot about us. We reveal things about our own personal, you know, struggle with love. And the one thread that goes throughout the show is the relationship between Nelson Algren and Simone de Beauvoir. We keep coming back to it. And so Grace and I sat down and we started thinking of ideas. How can we, you know, dissect love? And that's kind of what the show is about.
What other authors are incorporated into this? I could make a guess, but I'd rather hear from the two of you.
We bring in some letters, some love letters from James Joyce. And
fun love letters.
Yeah. Frida Kahlo.
We reference Bukowski. We have a little Shakespeare in the show.
Steve performs Romeo.
I perform Romeo.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, I memorized the little monologue that he does, and Grace kind of directs me through that, and it was fun to do. I think that's probably one of the highlights of the show, is watching me fumble through Shakespeare.
I doubt if you fumble through the shows. The shows are again at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery. The Drinking and Writing Theater has a space there. It's at Randolph and Halstead. And you can go. They do have a website, which I love the website, drinkingandwriting.com. Let me ask you, theater folks, is there not a relatively large body of work theatrically from theater folk who also hit the bottle pretty hard?
I would say that's probably true.
Some more transparent than others.
Yes. Yeah.
I think of Tennessee Williams, who had some problems with booze and all sorts of other narcotics. But have you explored much of that in Drinking and Writing over the years?
I think we have. It's such an, like I said, it's a romanticized kind of notion that people, you know, glom onto a little bit. But Grace has only been in Chicago for a year, but I think she's experienced some stuff with different performers and things you see. And, you know, I don't know.
What do you think it is, the two of you? And I want to ask the two of you. Yes, there is this romantic notion that, writers are such tortured souls that they have to, you know, sort of smooth off the rough edges of life. And I think of a guy like John Cheever, who wrote unbelievably kind of pristine sentences.
Raymond Carver.
Ernest Hemingway.
Right.
Do you think that creativity breeds some kind of necessity to tune out somehow, Steve and Grace?
Yeah, I think so. I think artists are naturally pretty vulnerable. We're trained to have this thick skin, but we have to have really a thin skin in order to be honest.
Well, see, that is an interesting... No, because now we're talking about... And there is a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
I would say there is much more rejection in the world of theater and acting than there is in print. I mean, because you sit down, you don't get every page of your novel rejected. You get the whole novel rejected.
Right, yeah. And it is personal. It can feel personal.
Yeah, and there is, but there's a satisfaction in just putting words on paper. I'm not sure the satisfaction is the same in going to an audition.
Yeah, luckily, I guess I don't go on very many auditions. We do this other show called Verses,
right,
and we write these short plays. And we go around the room and we pick and choose which we think should go into the show. And you have to develop a bit of a thick skin to be able to – it's constructive criticism, but still, it's part of you that you put on the page and you share with other people. And when it's not as accepted as you think it should be, you know, maybe it doesn't feel as good, but I think that's part of it, that you develop this thick skin. Or you go to the bar and have a drink and bitch about it or something. I don't know.
What do you think, Chris? That's an interesting – I buy that take.
No, yeah, Steve is totally right. I mean, in order to survive, you have to be able to take criticism with some ease. And maybe you do go to the bar afterwards and – hammer it out with some friends. But I think there's something personal about having your work rejected, especially when it's art, right? And but a lot of times my work comes from that, from feeling misunderstood and unheard.
Well, I also think, you know, not to make light of the whole thing, but there are some people who are simply predisposed to be alcoholics, and it doesn't matter.
It's true.
It doesn't matter what they do. There's a fascinating chapter, the fascinating new book out, and I can't imagine it's going to be a bestseller, called The Violet Hour, by a woman who has done – you hear about this book?
Mm-mm.
It is a series of chapters about how – some famous people confronted death, among them John Updike, Susan Sontag, also a writer, the most fascinating one, and legendarily so, and she really dissects it, is Dylan Thomas. Because everybody knows the famous 27 drinks or whatever the hell, 18 drinks, and she sort of, it takes that apart, but that was one fouled up character.
Man. Yeah.
And it makes you sad. So in doing this show, how did the two of you feel doing sensuously transmitted drama, Love Poured Neat? How do you two feel? Because you must have developed some kind of sense of the relationship between Nelson Algren and Simone de Beauvoir.
It's a sad thing. It was, They were together, I'm using quotation marks, for 17 years, and they met only 9 times. They only encountered each other 9 times. They didn't see each other for 8 years, and he flew to Paris in 1960 to see her. And he was – I think it was tough on him. He wanted a wife. He wanted love. He wanted a house. He wanted a family, and he was stuck – in this rut, and she was with Jean-Paul Sartre, and I don't think she was as honest with Nelson Algren as she should have been, and, you know, it was heartbreaking. But the letters are just, she calls him her Chicago husband, and it was...
I think she meant that, though. I think that was genuine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. That's what makes it one of the most compelling, but as you say, strange relationships in the history of modern romance.
Yeah. And I've reached out to the Nelson Algren Committee, which I'm sure you know those guys. I'm sure you know those guys. But they've been really supportive. They sent me some emails, and they said, hey, Kyle, can we help? Because we want to get the story out, too. They want...
Anything to keep Nelson's name alive. There were two documentaries about Nelson.
Yes, yeah.
Both of which barely, and I mean barely, mentioned de Beauvoir. You have...
Really?
They have that famous photograph taken by the legendary photographer Art Shea, taken in Nelson's apartment, of Simone de Beauvoir's back.
Yes.
She stands naked
in the mirror.
At a sink.
Yeah.
Famous shot.
There's one of him, too, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no question. No. Yeah. Art spent a lot of time. Art's still alive. Art spent a lot of time with Nelson. I'm talking to the two stars of sensuously transmitted drama, Love Poured Neat, which is playing Saturdays at 4 and Tuesdays at 8. At the Haymarket Pub and Brewery, the old Barney's Market Club at Halstead and Randolph. We'll be right back after a short commercial.
There's a great big town on a great big lake called Chicago. When the sun goes down, it is wide awake. Take your ma and your pa, go to Chicago. Boston is England, New Orleans is France, New York is...
More from Pal Joey, written by... a great alcoholic named John O'Hara, and also, but also a great short story writer. You've never done anything with O'Hara, have you?
I don't think we've actually included him in anything.
He was a member
of the Algonquin Roundtable.
Sort of.
Yeah.
You know, that's what everybody's, you know, if God, thank God the Algonquin Roundtable was not in Chicago, because everybody would go, oh, I never figured I was the smartest guy there. They told me I was the wittiest guy there. Yeah. We've had our share here, too. There's no question about serious drinkers. Do you find the two of you... Grace Murphy and Steve Mesquita. Grace, you're younger than Steve. What do you think about the bar culture here now? I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I used to know a number of theater bars like Joel's on Clark Street and the Gaslight on Halsted Street. Are there still? And I'm thinking of writers' bars like, you know, the Billy Goat used to be jammed and Ricardo's used to be jammed and O'Rourke's used to be jammed. Are there those kind of clubhouses filled with booze?
Well, yeah. We have our rehearsal sometimes at L&L. We talk shop.
You know the
there.
L&L?
Yeah.
We try to keep, you know, up with some of the you know, kind of artsy places, like the L&L is one that we go. We go to the Old Town Ale House to meet sometimes.
Bruce Elliott.
That's your neighborhood. That's
the great Bruce Elliott, yes. Yeah. Yes. So, what do you see? I wrote about today in the paper, if you people haven't seen it, Anthony Bourdain, the globe-trotting gourmand, came to Chicago to do Chicago. It will be on CNN, which is where his show is, Parts Unknown, Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, May 1st. Is Chicago, where he spends 50 or 60% of his time here in the alehouse.
Is that right?
A place that does not serve food. He spends a lot of time with Bruce. Yeah. Bruce Elliott, the proprietor of the alehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good old...
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
It's a great tavern.
It's been there forever. And but
54, maybe 54, 6. I think it's been on that location since the early 60s.
Yeah.
What do you think, Grace, about not just this show? I'm sure you're having great fun on the show. Mm-hmm. You two seem to get along quite well. You love Chicago.
I really love Chicago. It's a little cold sometimes, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed with the architecture here. I think it's really gorgeous. And
you like the L, the train and the tracks and all that stuff.
Standing under reading poetry.
Yes.
Do you also write? I know you write, Steve. Do you write as well?
I do. Frequently. Yes.
Theatrical stuff or poetry? Or
I write poetry. I write short stories. I write essays. I write plays. I just write.
Did you grow up in San Francisco?
I did.
What do your parents do?
My father.
I'm sure they're incredibly proud of you.
I hope so.
you're a nice young woman, and I bet you're a good actress. I don't know why I sense that. I've known a lot of actresses over the years. Yeah. What do they do out there?
My father works in telecommunications, and my mother is a poet.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of family that when your daughter says, I'm going to Chicago and make it in the theater, they go, oh, that's great, dear.
Yeah, they're very
Instead
supportive.
Instead of that, go back to college and do something else.
No, exactly. Something
else. Have they come out to see you in anything?
They have, yeah.
Oh, how nice. Yeah.
They've come to the Drinking and Writing Theater. They're big fans.
Have they?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great. Because,
yeah, that's real nice.
Well, that is a huge part. I guarantee you there are, if not hundreds, perhaps dozens, of potentially great actors and actresses who were never allowed on stage because it didn't seem a correct career path.
Yeah.
And you think of what we might have missed in that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
This experience for the two of you, and you also do that other thing, right? What else do you do? VS A Battle of Art, Love is Dissected, Transformed. What is that?
Verses. That's the show
that's
I was telling you about.
Oh, where you two write?
Yeah. We have two teams of three writers, performers, and we battle it on stage. Six rounds of art, which can be anything. It could be a scene. It could be a dance piece. It could be a video. And we choose an audience member to decide which team wins. And the most recent show that we did was Ham on Rye versus Catcher in the Rye, which was a lot of fun.
That sounds like great.
It was great. What were some of the other shows we've done, Grace?
Beer versus wine, drinking versus writing.
Yes.
What else? The best of times versus the worst of times.
When are those? Those
are Tuesdays at 8 o'clock and Saturdays at 4 o'clock. And we postponed it during April.
To do your show.
To do this show.
Oh, but I get it.
We start up again in May. And that's an ongoing show that we do. The next show we're doing is the two-step versus the 12 steps. That's the next one. And then after that, I think we're doing DUI versus IUD. And then there's another one.
Yeah,
I forget the other one.
No, I think that's all we got.
Okay, that's what we got so far. But yeah, we come up with new shows, and they basically run for the month, and then we switch it up again.
Yeah. Is Sean still very much involved, Sean Benjamin?
Yeah, I keep him in the loop, you know.
He's busy.
He's busy. He's got, you know, some little ones he's got to take care of. But he's got a new show that he's going to be doing at our theater. I think it's in September that he wrote with Carolyn, his wife.
Oh, neat.
So they're going to be doing a show at our theater. And then the big event that's coming up in May is the 21st, is the Beerfly Alley Fight. It's a home-brewed beer food art pairing competition. It's at our theater. At Haymarket. This is the 10th year we've done that. And it's a really fun, crazy event. People come, they get to taste these beers and taste the food and watch these short performances that people put on. Mm. We supply artists from all over the city, and they produce these short little performances, and everybody gets to vote at the end. And it's a very big, successful event that we do every year. So that's a lot of fun.
You can get all this information at drinkingandwriting.com. That's exactly. Very simple. Grace Murphy, you've hooked up with a nice crowd, as they say. You've hooked up with a nice crowd.
We'll see. Time will tell.
But once you've paired in this show, I mean, there must be, you seem to get along, there must be a desire to do another one.
Yeah.
You'll talk about it, and one day something will come to you.
Yeah. I think the thing is doing this show, which we talk about at the end of the show, is that I like to think that we've developed a good working relationship.
Yeah,
You know, we're not in love, but, you know, we talk about love. And I think hopefully
you can love each other.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. And I think that shows in the show that, you know, we've.
Look, if you guys could come up with something like A.R. Gurney's Love Letters, you know, that goofy show.
No.
Oh, A.R. Gurney's, I think he's won a Pulitzer Prize, but it's a show where two people read letters to each, a man and a woman, mm-hmm. that they've written over 40 tumultuous years, and anybody can act in it. So what you would have is like, oh, Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's been a money-making. Look it up.
Yeah.
Love letters. It's been a money-making thing.
Oh, that's great.
And that's what you guys need.
Yeah.
Steve, it is always great to see
you. Thank you so much,
Steve Mosqueda and Grace Murphy, new to town, relatively new to town. And,
not for long.
Not for long.
People are going to know who she is pretty
soon.
That's
great. Yeah. Well, one way to do it is to go to see Centrally Transmitted Drama. Love Poured Need. It features my aunt's old boyfriend, Nelson Algren, reading poems to Simone de Beauvoir. He was cheating on my aunt with Simone de Beauvoir. So I appreciate everybody listening. Dan Long has left.
Oh, no.
Yes. You heard it.
I heard, yeah. That's very sad.
He's got his own kind of podcast or something. Yeah. I will be back on next week. I really appreciate you people listening. I appreciate the great Aubrey Mumpower playing songs from Pal Joey. There's an interesting thing. I'm going to pitch, when I have 5 minutes, I'm going to pitch you an idea of doing, like, theatrical Drunken People.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be
like,
great.
Because apocryphally, John Barrymore, they would have to get him up drunk backstage doing Hamlet, and they'd go, oh my God, he's going to fall off the stage, and they would push him on the stage, and he would do a brilliant Hamlet.
Yeah.
Mm. So, go figure. You two guys, nice to see you.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much,
in.
Rick.